Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. I hope you've had a good week. If you're joining us again, welcome back. And if you're a new listener, I'd just like to let you know this is a two-hour show combining thought-provoking conversations, some out and about on the street with ordinary, in inverted commas, people, and also thought-provoking conversations with guests from the arts. And in the second hour, I'm pleased to be interviewing two special guests from the arts this week. Wallace Bain, award-winning journalist and writer, and Shmuel Thaler, award-winning photographer and author. Wallace and Shmuel have collaborated to produce a new book, The Creatives Among Us, which celebrates the incredibly rich array of artists concentrated in Santa Cruz County in California. Wallace Bain has been an arts writer, film critic, columnist, and editor for the Santa Cruz Sentinel newspaper since 1991. As well as being an award-winning journalist, he's been host and director of the annual Gail Rich Awards, which started in 97, honoring artists and arts supporters in the Santa Cruz era. And he's also the author of two books and a play. Shmuel Thaler is an award-winning photographer whose photographs have been published in every leading newspaper in the United States, as well as in numerous magazines and viewed on CBS Evening News and NBC Nightly News. Shmuel has been a staff photographer at the Santa Cruz Sentinel newspaper since 1987. His photography has been exhibited in one-man and group shows, and he's also the co-author of five children's books, his photographs illustrating numerous books. So that's coming up in the second hour. I'm looking forward to talking to them about, in particular, this new book, The Creatives Among Us, which I think is a great title. So that's coming up the second hour. I hope you can stay. In this hour, we're considering what does it take to be a gentleman or a lady. And I decided to do this topic after reading about some lists that appeared in a magazine in the UK called Country Life, which is a magazine, a sort of a society magazine, but more like a Country Life magazine aimed somewhat at the landed gentry, but also just very specifically about country life. And anyway, they came up with these attributes that were required for a gentleman or a lady, somewhat updated for modern times, although some of the things on the list, as you will see, perhaps aren't what we would think of as completely modern. But it just intrigued me when I saw these lists. I was thinking, well, you know, what do I think would make a gentleman or a lady? And are these terms still relevant today, with more gender equality? And, you know, we think of ourselves as so modern and everything, you know, and obviously these ideas come from a much older time, when chivalry first started, or codes of behaviour first started. So looking at the Country Life lists, just to give you some ideas, a gentleman apparently negotiates airports with ease, never lets a door slam in someone's face, can train a dog and a rose, is aware that facial hair is temporary but a tattoo is permanent, knows when not to say anything, wears his learning lightly, possesses at least one well-made dark suit, one tweed suit and a dinner jacket, avoids lilac socks and polishes his shoes, turns his mobile to silent at dinner, carries house guests' luggage to their room, says his name when being introduced, breaks a relationship face to face, tips staff in a private house and a gamekeeper in the shooting field, which is probably most relevant to Downton Abbey crowd, breaks a relationship face to face, is unafraid to speak the truth, knows when to clap, arrives at a meeting 5 minutes before the agreed time, is good with waiters, can undo a bra with one hand, is not a vegetarian, never kisses and tells, cooks an omelette to die for, can tie his own bow tie, swats flies and rescues spiders. So these are just some of the attributes that country life has got for a gentleman. And for a lady, they've got finds laughter is the best medicine, can say thank you no matter where she is in the world, cooks perfect crisp roast potatoes, which I think is a bit of a British Sunday lunch type thing, offers to split the bill, knows that everyone, including herself, improves with age, offers the builder a cup of tea. That's very British. Excels at making love, lasagna and long gin and tonics. Can silence a man with a stare and make a dog lie down with a hand signal and vice versa. Never downs a drink in one unless it's a shot of tequila. Is aware that the school run and dog walking do not require full makeup. Knows when a man is spoken for. Remembers her godchildren's birthdays. Knows songs for a long car journey. Is neither early for a dinner party nor late for church. So this gives you an idea of the kind of things that they are saying you need to have accomplished to be a lady or a gentleman. Well, I decided to go out on the street and find out what people here thought about this, whether they think it's still relevant or not. So let's hear my first conversation. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
My name is Lindsay.
I'm Paulina.
I'm Marsha.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at what does it take to be a gentleman or a lady? Society magazine Country Life in Britain, which is aimed largely at the landed gentry, but more broadly at country rather than city folk, recently published two lists of what is required to be a gentleman or a lady. Some of the attributes were serious. Some were more tongue-in-cheek and some were very peculiarly British. But before we get into the qualities you might think characterise a gentleman or a lady, I'm wondering whether the concept... whether the concept of being a gentleman or a lady is something you relate to at all. Does that term mean something to you, or do you think of it as being archaic?
Oh, it's starting with me. Okay.
Oh, well, whoever. Who would like to?
Yeah, does anybody know the answer before I do? I'm still thinking about it. What was the question again?
Does it mean something to you that somebody is a gentleman or a lady? Does that term seem relevant to you, the idea that someone would treat you like a gentleman or would treat you like a lady? Or does that mean anything, or is it just archaic to you, sort of Jane Austen-ish?
It does seem a bit archaic, but when you do see like certain acts that are gentleman or lady-like, you kind of appreciate it more, depending on what it is and if it seems considerate or if it seems where it's coming from. Sometimes I feel like people are gentleman or lady-like because that's how they think, like that's the expectation, or that this is how they're going to meet a person or get to know somebody better, is by acting a certain way, and sometimes it's not how they are usually. Right. I feel like that's something that happens to me with American culture more than British culture, English culture.
So people are kind of putting it on, faking it really, just to fulfill a certain expectation.
Yeah.
But then you might find out later.
They're not a gentleman, they're not a lady.
Right. What about you? Do you think the terms have relevance today?
It definitely seems a bit outdated. I know it's a positive quality, and if somebody is described as being, you know, a gentleman or a lady, I'll think that's a good thing, but it's not a term I'd use to talk about anybody that I know. I'd just say, you know, they're a good, nice person.
Right.
So division, that gender division doesn't really apply, I think, as much in American culture.
Right. What about you?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's just about having like decent qualities as a human being versus being a gentleman or a lady.
Yeah.
It's just about treating other people with respect.
I mean, it used to embody a sort of code of behavior, like you would say, you know, well, a gentleman would never take advantage of a woman who was drunk or something like that, you know, or a gentleman in England, you know, a gentleman's word is his bond. So if you gave your word as a gentleman, you would never break that, you know, never let somebody down or betray them. So there were, and I think also one of the main qualities I see is like making people at ease, so that whatever situation you're in, you make the people around you. So do you think there's a place for these kind of qualities of manners, though, of sort of having certain codes of honour or whatever, even if we don't call it being a gentleman or a lady?
So, what was the question?
Do you think there's...
I keep falling and I'm thinking, so I'm not...
It's fine.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a place to have a sort of code of honour? Because that's all that it really embodied before. Do you think it's useful to have something to aspire to? It's a set of values, I suppose, in a way, that isn't linked to religion or anything like that.
Yeah, I think there is. I think it's what distinguishes a boy from a man. Like, that's kind of what we call people. Like, you don't say someone's a gentleman, you just say, like, okay, either they're a man or they're a boy. They're acting like a boy, they're acting childish, or they're acting more mature. So I think there is a place. I don't know how necessary it is, especially for me. I pretty much like equality. Sometimes I find that people who try to act like gentlemen are maybe devaluing me in a way, or making me seem weak, and I'm a pretty independent and strong person, so sometimes if someone asks to carry my bag just because they want to seem gentlemanly, it kind of offends me, because I can carry my own bag, and I'll offer, like, oh, do you want me to carry your bag? You're struggling. And then they say no. It's kind of like a macho thing. Like, you can't deliver that same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe we could just think of being generally kind to each other. I was reading one thing about online about a guy who is recommending, you know, like opening doors, that if you should still open doors for people, but men and women should open doors for people. So if a man opens a door for you, you know, that's not demeaning you. But a man shouldn't, like, if a woman starts to open a door, rush in and jump in and say, no, let me open it for you. You know what I mean? So there's kind of some sanity involved as well. But do you think it would be useful for young people to have some sort of code, though, to try and aspire to?
Definitely. I mean, you want to be I don't know what a good person is, but you want to aspire to be a decent, kind human being. Again, not trying to divide characteristics into, like, masculine and feminine characteristics, but just sort of a general overarching good.
Yeah. So it sounds like what you guys are saying is that there's still some value to having this sort of values and this code, but you wouldn't split it out into being like a gentleman and a lady. You would see it as just, let's all be good human beings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I really appreciate your opinions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations about this week's topic. What does it take to be a gentleman or a lady? I think a lot of us are Downton Abbey fans, which was obviously a time when these terms were still very relevant. I'm just looking at, are they still relevant today? And if they are, how can they help us have a more civil society? And actually, what are the attributes? Well, if you have any comments or ideas about this, do email me at ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. And remember that you can always go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, to hear previous shows. There's some very interesting topics that we've covered before, and also some great inspiring guests from the arts. So again, that's itsaquestionofbalance.com. And you can also connect with me on social media there if you should wish. We're going to go to a break now, but I look forward to seeing you after this with more conversation.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Just goes nowhere. It's a way.
a Question of Balance music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second-generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
You can wonder how you would have responded to the questions had I stopped you. And I'm very interested in your comments if you have any. So do email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com, if you have any thoughts yourself on what makes a gentleman or a lady. Well, the next people I spoke to were Karam and Zach. So let's hear what they had to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
My name is Karam.
My name is Zach.
Well, thanks very much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week I'm looking at what does it take to be a gentleman or a lady? This magazine in England has published some lists which are somewhat amusing, somewhat serious. A gentleman apparently can train a dog and a rose, knows not when not to say anything, doesn't show off. Turns his mobile to silent at dinner, apparently. A lady finds laughter is the best medicine, can say thank you no matter where she is in the world, cooks perfect crisp roast potatoes. That's probably a very British thing. These are more kind of frivolous types of things, but before we get into what would characterize that, do you think those terms have any relevance today? Do you ever think about treating someone as a gentleman or being a gentleman? I mean, obviously it's a centuries old concept of being an honorable person and that being meaning behaving in certain ways, but do you relate to that at all in today?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's 100% true. Gentleman and lady, it still exists, if that's what you're asking.
Yes, yeah.
You have to be a gentleman 100% of the time.
Okay, so before I go to you, I'll ask you, what embodies that for you?
Well, it's funny because I had a conversation about this the other day with some ladies.
Okay. So, all right, yeah.
And they said you have to be a gentleman at all times. So they want the door to be opened all the time for them.
Uh-huh.
You walk on the left, right side of the street to the street.
Yeah.
And but you always buy dinner, which is bad for us guys, but it's part of the game that they play.
Right.
So, and they notice that, you know what I mean? They
yeah.
notice you wanting to be, having to be that gentleman.
Okay. I mean, that's what they were saying they wanted. Are there qualities you personally hold for yourself of how you want to treat people as a gentleman?
Well, for me, in general, I like to treat people with respect. I give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
Just, you know, I'm nice with everyone. That's how I, you know.
I'm, yeah.
You know, treating homeless guy,
well.
Give him a dollar, you know.
Yeah.
Let someone go first on a stop sign before me.
Yeah.
That's how I, that's my persona.
Okay.
In general.
Yeah.
Just a typical nice guy.
Right. In your opinion. No. And I don't know
exactly.
You, so it could be completely true. So, what about you? Do you think those terms still hold any relevance?
Maybe for the older generations, maybe not so much with this generation and maybe the ones coming. But for me personally, yeah, it holds relevance for me. It's just the way I was brought up, I would say.
So what about for you? What does being a gentleman mean to you? I mean,
Some of the same qualities as my friend said, like opening the door, being polite, paying for dinner.
Yeah.
Same type of things.
That's the worst part about being a gentleman. Paying for the dinner.
And I read in my research today, someone listed that on Lifehack, I think it was, saying it was one of the qualities. And you can't expect anything for that. You have to pay for it, but you can't expect anything for it. Which is also part of being a gentleman, apparently. Yeah, so it's kind of lose-lose there. But
and kind of piggybacking on what he said, you know, it kind of, with older generations, ladies and gentlemen, it was something big, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's the way you're brought up these days, like he said.
Okay,
it's
my
parents or his parents, they teach you to be polite and be a gentleman and treat women with respect or treat anybody with respect.
Yes,
but it kind of seems like this new generation, these young upcoming thugs, they're kind of different, you know? And it's maybe they're not as mature or maybe it takes them a longer time to know the real meaning of what it takes to be a lady or a gentleman.
Yeah.
But growing up, me, I was, you know, I came up with that, you know?
So. I mean, one of the things in Britain, you know, a gentleman's word is his bond, is one of the things, you know, which is if you give your word, that's it. You will absolutely do what you say. Is that something also that you've
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's kind of having integrity.
It's, and you know, we live in America. I mean, politicians lie to us.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But in other countries, it's, you know, if you make a promise, either they trust you to make that promise, and if you don't, it's like it's over. I mean, over here, people, I'll be there in 5 minutes, and they show up 2 hours late, you know?
Yes.
So. It's kind of different in other countries, I believe, versus in America. It's kind of, the game is different around here.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But like in Britain, you know, holding your word to something, you better hold that word or you'll never be trustworthy again.
Right.
It almost defines you as a man in some countries.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not trying to suggest that everybody in England is behaving like that by any means, but traditionally, you know, that was part of being a gentleman was acting honorably, which of course is where all the sort of you don't take advantage of a woman when she's drunk and things like that come from. It's all to do with sort of honor, really, you know, and treating people well. If you have these idea of being a gentleman, what does being a lady mean to you?
I'll let my friend answer that question first.
So I guess not being too provocative, I guess. I know a lot of young women, maybe they voice their opinions in the wrong way sometimes. I don't know, being vulgar. You know, sometimes they act more kind of like guys in a way when they hang out and stuff like that.
Right.
So for me personally, I'm kind of the old school way, I guess.
Yeah, being more sort of refined and demure. And
yeah, there's nothing bad with speaking up, but I mean, it seems like this newer generation is straying too far out from the older days.
I mean, I know when I was writing my list, trying to think what I thought a gentleman was and what a lady was, you know, a lot of the things were the same, you know, sort of being faithful to your spouse, you know, not lying, behaving honorably in situations, treating everybody equally with respect no matter their position, which of course in the past was very relevant because you might treat, you know, someone working on the street less well than you would a lord or something like that, you know. But I think that still applies today. Sometimes people still would treat, I don't know, whoever you can choose, you know, in a different way than somebody they want to impress. But I think somebody who embodies these qualities definitely treats everybody equally. So I think there are definitely things that cross both, would you say, that are common or no? Okay, what are you thinking?
I'm trying to think how I'm going to answer this without getting hurt. I think back in the day, growing up, and I can't speak for anyone who's lived in the 1800s or the early 1900s because I'm only 26 years old, but I think you, a man and a woman were both, they grew up treated the same way, how to treat others the same way.
Right.
But somewhere along the lines that may have changed where, you know, the guys get treated differently versus how the women get treated differently.
Uh-huh.
So I can't really ask what it means to be a lady for me, but I guess.
So you're not really thinking of it like that. You're not thinking of it in terms of I expect a woman to behave this way.
Well,
you're more thinking how you behave towards people.
You know, I do kind of have a problem with women. Like if I have a girlfriend, I don't want her wearing a short skirt and showing her cleavage off in the middle of the streets to anybody. You know, that's right. What I think would be, she'd be covered up more and kind
of. So that would be perhaps trashy in your mind, or?
Yeah, it's, you know, at least dress more respectable because, you know, give me a little bit respect than others around you.
Okay.
You know, that's, I think, would be.
So maybe make a differentiation. If she was dressed like that and she was single, would you still perceive it in the same way, or is it more about giving you respect because you're together and she's flashing the goods, as it were, to other men?
Well, if I'm a gentleman, I won't be looking.
No, that's true.
You have a point, but it's
that's
the question I guess you're trying to ask, what it means to be a lady or a gentleman these days, and it's kind of changed because back in the early days you won't see a woman who's dressed up trashy, you know what I mean?
No.
Or maybe not. I mean,
it's difficult to determine what that is, because if you look at like Jane Austen's time, they all had their boobs pushed up on a platter basically, you know, and they wore dresses that were so
tight,
thin. Yeah. Well, no, they were so thin they used to dampen them down so men could see the kind of silhouette of their body through the dress, kind of like the Princess Diana thing of where the light went through her dress. So, I mean, there's obviously some element of a mating dance which you see in nature, but that goes on between men and women. I mean, at least in Western society, you know, not completely covered up. But where's the line, I suppose, is the question.
It is a double standard. Let's face it. If a guy was walking down the street butt naked, we'd be disgusted. Like, what the hell is that guy doing? But if a girl was walking down the street butt naked, we'll take out our cell phones and follow her everywhere. It's a double standard. I get it. But, it's kind of hard for me to speak about what it is to take a lady again, because, and I guess that would be a good question to ask some fellow girls I work with. Hey, what does it take to be a lady? And then I'll have a more.
When they're saying you should be a gentleman. You're like,
exactly,
well,
you know. They want to know what it takes, what it needs to be to be a gentleman. They tell me I need to do this, that's that. They have a laundry list of things. And I'm like, damn, are you looking for Prince Charming or Casanova? You ain't getting neither.
Yeah,
but I guess
probably they want both.
I can always turn the question on you. What it takes to be a lady for you?
Yes, and I thought I'd brought my list with me, and I didn't. So, I mean, I think what I mentioned earlier, that a lot of the common things about, you know, just being loyal and faithful and treating people with honor. But I did have one on there that I thought perhaps was a bit traditional, which is a lady never loses control of herself in public. And I, on my gentleman list, I had is slow to anger. You know, I think that it's very important to be in charge of your emotions.
Yeah,
but I guess that is a more traditional thing to say, you know, a woman shouldn't lose control of herself in public. But to me, that would seem unladylike. But I don't know. I think perhaps being a lady is that way of thinking of it is less relevant today than perhaps being a gentleman is, I think, because being a lady has been more affected by equality of gender rights, because a lot of being a lady was being sort of seen and not heard, and, you know, being the power behind the throne and support, and of course that's not that appealing to a lot of women. But I think there are still aspects of, you know, just carrying yourself well, knowing how to behave in every situation, I think, is important for men and women. But do you think that when you think of those terms, is finally, do you think more about accomplishments? Because these lists from England, they're a lot about, like I mentioned to you earlier, about accomplishments. You know, like can train a dog, can tie
a bow tie, you know, always says his name when being introduced, breaks a relationship face to face, is unafraid to speak the truth, knows when to clap, arrives at a meeting 5 minutes before the agreed time, is good with waiters, has two tricks to entertain children.
And I think that those lists that you just,
yeah,
I think that's just the way that person is and he portrays it.
Right.
Because I can train a dog, but I can be a complete ass.
Yes,
you know,
true,
or
yes.
I can be this guy that breaks up over Facebook with you or something, you know. So,
so it's less about accomplishments and more about treating people. What about you? Do you associate, like, if you went to, I don't know, a nice restaurant with someone? Do you think a gentleman knows how to behave in social situations? Is confident in social situations? Or do you think that's unrelated to being a gentleman?
No, I agree that that's related to being a gentleman. Let's say if you're at a restaurant and maybe the waiter is not being so nice and you don't want to show your date or your wife or whoever you're with that... you know, that the ugly side that you may have or something like that. You just want to be respectful, and especially if you're trying to date that person and you don't want to turn them off, you know.
Somebody said earlier that they felt the girls that I interviewed, that sometimes people behave, you know, in a certain way to impress someone, like you just mentioned, and then they're not actually like that. But were you saying that, or were you meaning just controlling your temper?
Controlling, there are some people who put on a show for particular people, but I didn't mean it that way. Controlling yourself, right? Yeah.
And I guess what I'm getting from both of you is, it seems like a lot of this is parenting. I mean, you've developed these values and ways of knowing how to behave to other people and in certain situations from the way you're brought up, right?
Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly how I was brought up, with showing people respect, because I want to be treated with respect.
Yeah.
I hate to be that guy that makes the scene at a restaurant because my food was undercooked or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Or the service was bad.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather be with someone who's going to do that for me. So push it on
maybe
them.
Maybe that's what a lady does.
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Takes care of things for her.
I guess there should be an equal balance. You know, maybe you might meet with that woman who, she is kind of a lady and in some ways, but then some other way she's that person who yells at that waitress for making their food undercooked or whatever. So, and I can be the guy that,
well, I guess if you,
who doesn't open the door.
My way of thinking of it would be what you said. If you were a gentleman or a lady, you would deal with that situation so that nobody in the restaurant would know, but it would be completely taken care of. You wouldn't make a scene. You wouldn't feel the need to shout because you're very confident, you know, and I don't know, sort of James Bond styly, you know.
Well, I'm more of Tom Cruise, but Mission Impossible.
Thank you very much for your opinions.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. It was fun.
Good. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and thanks very much there to Karam and Zach for giving their opinions on this week's topic. We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversations after these messages.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made desserts in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Daniel and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito.
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
know about the Santa Cruz Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz? Founded in 1919, it's 96 years young and provides a wonderful gallery space for local and national artists. It's a great place to view art with 14 shows a year, but also to gain support if you're an artist yourself. There are art classes and weekend workshops, many taught by open studio artists. If you become a member, you receive a newsletter, discounts on classes, gifts and exhibit entries, images of your art on the Art League website, and guaranteed participation in the annual members show. It's also a great place to meet artists. Visit the Santa Cruz Art League at 562 Broadway or the website at scal.org. That's scal.org.
Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations. Before the break, we were hearing from Karam and Zach, and they had some interesting thoughts. And while I was talking to them, I did mention that I had sat down and created my own list about what it took to be a gentleman and a lady. And it was actually harder than I thought. Sort of when you actually sit down and think, well, what does that mean to you? It's kind of a sort of amorphous term, each of them, and we have perhaps slightly unconscious ideas of what those terms mean. And then we obviously watch a lot of programs, you know, Pride and Prejudice and Downton Abbey, and sort of read books from the past and chivalric tales. There's the whole sort of knight tradition and courtly love and all of that. So, you know, there's a lot of cultural references of what it means to be a gentleman and a lady, and it's often represented in films in different ways. So sitting down to do it was a bit harder than I thought. And as I said when I was talking to Karam and Zach, a lot of what came to me were common to both, really. And it was sort of more about a code of behavior. So anyway, I will share with you what I put on my list. But I do want to have a disclaimer that these lists are not exhaustive, are open to change at any time. As I think about it more and think, oh, I should have added this, or why did I add that? So when I just sat down and spent a few minutes thinking about this, this is what I came up with for being a gentleman. A gentleman opens doors, is never spiteful, is always on time, is slow to anger, has good personal hygiene and dresses well, albeit in his own style. Shows respect to everyone, no matter their position. Never sleeps with a woman who is inebriated. Is loyal to his friends. Is faithful to his wife. Acts honorably. Knows how to behave in all social situations. Has good table manners. Is tidy and organized. Never kisses and tells. Makes those around him feel at ease. Is unfailingly polite, is confident but never arrogant, makes his word his bond, is honest, and shows caring and appreciation for those close to him. So this is an aspirational list, obviously. And as I said, you know, not exhaustive or permanently unopen to change. And then for a lady, I had, a lady never keeps anyone waiting, shows respect to everyone no matter their position, is always dressed stylishly and appropriately for the occasion, never loses control in public, is loyal to her friends, is faithful to her husband, acts honorably, knows how to behave in all social situations, makes those around her feel at ease, knows how to keep a confidence, is unfailingly polite, has perfect table manners, respects people's personal privacy, knows how to build bridges between people, is honest and is caring and affectionate to those she loves. So those were my lists. I'd be interested in your lists if you want to send them to me, if you want to email me or tweet any attributes you think that a gentleman or a lady has. My Twitter name is at Ruth Copland, and the email is ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. So it's actually quite interesting to sit down and give this some thought. And maybe, you know, it's not appropriate for you to think of a gentleman or a lady maybe that is obsolete for you now or not. If it is obsolete, you may have a code of behavior or ethics that you feel applies to all of us and is perhaps useful as a guide of behavior to navigate this increasingly complex world that we're in. Anyway, my final conversation this week was with Tiffany. So let's hear what she had to say.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Tiffany Young.
Well, thanks so much for agreeing to talk to me for our Out and About feature. This week we're considering what does it take to be a gentleman or a lady? And the reason I'm doing this topic is because there was a magazine in Britain called Country Life, which is a sort of society magazine for the country landed gentry predominantly, that published a couple of lists of what it meant to be, you know, what attributes you had to have in order to be a gentleman or a lady. And it kind of got me thinking about whether those terms, you know, mean anything anymore, whether they still have relevance as a code of morals, I suppose. So before we start thinking about that, I was wondering, do you have characteristics that you think of when you think of a gentleman or a lady?
Yes.
Okay.
Manners, manners, manners.
Okay. For both?
Yes. And so even if you don't like someone, or even if you're impatient or in a hurry, manners can create that bridge of tolerance, of respect, of getting along with each other. It's so key. So when I hear the word lady or gentleman, I don't think of an exclusive club or an aristocratic privilege. I think of it in a more generic term of manners, manners, manners.
Yes. I mean, that's how I think of it a lot. I mean, I think one of the things that distinguishes a gentleman or a lady is being able to make anyone feel at ease in any situation. Mm. You know, for instance, if someone was using the wrong spoon or whatever, you would never make them feel embarrassed for doing that. That would be the sign of a real lady or a real gentleman. Is that sort of what you're thinking of as well?
Yes, and I think there can be a kind-heartedness that could go with it. Mm. That feeling of making people feel welcome, or smoothing things over, or finding the humor in a situation, or making someone feel at ease. I think it's really, really important. And I want to see children have that.
Right.
Not just be looking at their digital devices, looking down.
Yeah.
Look up, look out.
I mean, do you think because of us going for sort of gender equality and everything that using those terms is obsolete now, that we should just be thinking about being a good person, or do you think there's enough that is different between men and women that it's still useful to think of someone as being a gentleman or a lady?
I guess, and not that I know a lot, I would never want to really speak, but I guess they say gender's like a spectrum.
Yes.
And so I still think that... Well, that's a really interesting question. I guess I go back to manners. I just think people, to me, that is evocative of manners.
Yes.
And that applies to everyone.
Yeah. I mean, when I was thinking about what I felt a gentleman or a lady were, a lot of them were the same. You know, things like is loyal to their friends, faithful to their spouse, acts honorably, knows how to behave in all social situations. I suppose there is an element of etiquette in, like, having good table manners. And one of the things on this list in England was being good with waiters was something that men were supposed to, a gentleman was supposed to do. Turns his mobile to silent at dinner. Is not vegetarian was on the list of a gentleman. So I think a lot of the country life attributes were accomplishments, like, can, you know, tie a bow tie, knows how to sort of gut a fish and things like that. I don't know that I associate accomplishments like that so much with being a gentleman or a lady. It doesn't sound like you do either. It's more about values.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, a lot of the ladies and gentlemen come from literature, and so that did have yes. certain things that went along with it.
Sort of the old Jane Austen era.
Right, yes. Yeah. You can pop a champagne cork. You can know how to gamble. You have a certain aplomb or wit under fire.
Right.
And yes. so we have those associations, at least as European Americans and,
yeah,
and Europeans. Maybe you're onto something. In the idea of being a good person first. Mm. A good person that has a good heart and is yeah. kind and wants to engage, wants to interact. Mm. But in the meantime, also for manners, yeah. just be polite.
Yes.
Be, yeah. Don't tailgate. Don't be yeah. right on someone. You know, don't be rude. Or say please. Yeah. Say thank you. Hold the door. Now, maybe there's gender equality. I'll hold doors for yeah. men. Often they'll say, oh, no, no, you go ahead. And I'll always say thank you.
Yes.
So to me, these are simple, how about simple human courtesies?
Yes. Yeah.
That really help our world and a diverse world get along better.
Mm. I mean, that is the original, the whole meaning of manners was to try and limit conflict. So I think we need that more than ever. I've done a few shows on this sort of topic area in different ways. And one thing that I have noticed is that some men I've interviewed do have a desire to want to be what they call sort of chivalrous. There is that desire still, I think. One doesn't like to put it in terms of gender because of, you know, as you right. say, the spectrum of gender now. But I think there is an impetus in men to want to behave a certain way and women to want to be treated in a certain way and to treat men in a certain way. And so I don't know how quite, but I think we've worked out yet in the modern world how to still allow that to be, because I think there is still something nice about treating each other in a certain way without it being offensive. You know, if I open the door for you, I'm not trying to say I don't think you're strong enough to open it for yourself or whatever, right. you know, like you might take offense and think, I can open that door for myself, thank
right.
you. You know, which I think there was a slight feminist backlash. So I'm just wondering what you think, whether there's a way to incorporate some of those little distinctive male-female things too, traditional male-female things, you know, into our modern world, or whether we're sort of past that.
Well, let's bring chivalry back. Who are those men that want to be chivalrous? Let's get their names. Let's get their emails and phone numbers, strictly platonically, if they're married. If they're single, I want to know. I think there's a place for chivalry. If you want to look at women or the feminine ideal as being perhaps, and I'm a feminist, but I'm going to say this. Women can be in charge of beauty, in charge of love, in charge of the things that makes life worth living.
Yes, yeah.
And chivalry traditionally protected that, would even die for it,
yes,
would die yeah. for honor, would die to protect something beautiful or love itself. That's great. Let's bring that back.
Yeah.
And in terms of women, I think I will just say as a woman myself, my code is leave something better than you found it.
Mm, yeah.
Enhance beauty. Find the beauty in people. Find the beauty in the world and enhance it.
Yeah.
And bring more love into the world. That's my definition of greatness. How loving are you? How much love do you give? How much love are you willing to receive? Mm. And circulate it, circulate it. And as women, I think we really can be leaders and role models for that.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm at Alexander McCall Smith's wonderful book signing tonight. And his women characters, the ladies number one detective agency, is all about that.
Yes.
And his characters are wonderful role models.
Yeah.
And I love that. And to me, that's Africa. That's when I think of the best of Africa. I think of the matriarchy. I think of mothers and grandmothers. And you just want to climb up on their lap
yes.
and be told everything's going to be okay.
Yes.
And in his latest book, she Precious Remotswe adopts this boy. This boy scratches her car. And instead of just yelling at him or taking him to the police, she goes, what's wrong?
Yes.
Well, that's him.
You could say that is being a lady, because, you
yes.
know, the popular culture would be instantly to have some sort of road rage incident or whatever, you know,
right.
and instantly be aggressive. And so I think a lot about, on my list for a gentleman was slow to anger. And I think, you know, being in control of your emotions, I don't mean being repressed, but I think that's part of what I perceive as being a gentleman or a lady. And again, that's how you treat other people. And also what you mentioned about honour. I think honour, to me, it's a concept people barely talk about now, and yet I think it's one of the most important in life.
I admire that. You know, we have that great swashbuckler, you know, tradition with actors like Errol Flynn, but that idea of just sort of, 007, but this kind of coolness or humor or courage or wit in the face of extreme hardship or danger, that's a part of it too. Maybe that goes beyond being just a gentleman.
Yeah.
But I admire that in the male universe.
Yeah.
And I think that's something women could emulate. You'll see that in really gifted athletes too.
Right.
I recently saw the film Meru, one of the toughest ascents in the Himalayas. It's actually harder than Everest. It has three different types of technical climbing, and this beautiful film was made, and they're in these hurricane winds suspended vertically about 25,000 feet up, being buffeted around in their tents like they're ready to just die, and they're in there kind of cracking jokes. And it was this just testimony of courage and what would be the word?
Resilience.
A land decor, resilience, laughing in the face of danger, but not in a cavalier way, but in a life-affirming way.
Yes,
I just really respect it.
Yes.
So I've kind of given some of the ideas. I guess we've gone beyond manners now, and ladies and gentlemen, into qualities, male qualities and female qualities that I admire and aspire to.
Yeah.
And leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your opinions.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland, and that was the end of my conversations with people on the street, or in this case, it was at the Alexander McCall event. And I just wanted to remind you, if you didn't know already, I actually did a great interview with Alexander McCall Smith. He's a wonderfully interesting man, so you can find that podcast at the website. It's a question of balance.com. On the homepage at the bottom, there's a strip of photographs of all the arts guests that I've had. You can just see his photograph there. Click on it and have a listen. He's fascinating. What a fascinating life. He's packed so much into it. Quite amazing, really. But anyway, thanks to Tiffany for stopping after that event, and also thanks to my other guests who stopped and talked to me on the street. And I hope that these conversations this week have given you something to think about. Just to remind you again, in the second hour, I am pleased to be interviewing Wallace Bain, who is an award-winning journalist and writer, and Shmuel Thaler, who is an award-winning photographer and author. And they have collaborated on a book, The Creatives Among Us, which celebrates the incredibly rich array of artists concentrated in Santa Cruz County in California. So I'm really looking forward to talking to them. So I'll see you after the break.